We welcome those listening to this message on Solus Radio out of Monte Vista, Colorado. We hope you are encouraged by our messages from the Bema coming from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. For more information about our Messianic congregation, we invite you to visit our website at BethShekinah.com. Beth Shekinah Messianic Congregation welcomes Rabbi Cal Goldberg with messages from the Bema.
I'd like the picture on the front of the bulletin. Stop complaining. It's a pretty strong message there. But as you can see, that's kind of where we're going to be going with today. But now that Shavuot and the spring feasts are over, I'm going to return to the Torah and begin a series of messages. Now, we're now in the book of Bamidbar, the book of Numbers, and there are some excellent lessons I believe we can benefit from. Numbers is really the book of wanderings. And most of this book describes Israel's experience as they wandered in the wilderness. And one of the key lessons in this book is that while it may be necessary for at times for us to go through a wilderness experience in life, we don't have to live there. God wants us to learn what we can and move on. He doesn't want us to stay in the wilderness, wandering around. And for Israel, an 11-day journey became 40 years of agony and suffering, all because of their fear, because of unbelief, and because of disobedience. And many of God's people today, for whatever reason, are wandering in the wilderness. They're always struggling through life, never being able to take hold of God's promises and walk in victory and in the power of the Spirit, because of fear, because of unbelief, and because of disobedience. The very things that prevented the children of Israel from entering into the promised land are the same kind of challenge that we face today. And really, there's not really an excuse for us, because we have the Ruach HaKodesh. We have the Holy Spirit living and dwelling in us to empower us to walk in victory. They didn't have the Holy Spirit as such, as we do. They didn't have the Word of God. We have a lot going for us, and so we need to grow up and begin to walk in greater maturity in our faith. But the book of Numbers describes many of the issues in life that we struggle with. Grumbling and complaining is a big one. Fear, unbelief, rebellion against authority, the power of the blessing and the curse, the power of intercession, disobedience, tithing, the bronze serpent, making unwise vows, cities of refuge. So there's a lot of good lessons. I encourage you to really follow the Torah readings, for these next few weeks, because there's a lot of valuable lessons that we can learn as we study through this book. But my message this morning is from Numbers 11. Nicole shared the first six verses, and so we're going to begin in Numbers 11 and ask the Lord to give us wisdom. Moses is addressing the sin of grumbling and complaining and discontent that was present in the camp of Israel. And so Numbers 11 begins with the words, as Nicole read, "Now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. The Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp." Those who have, those who have a discontent spirit, who are dissatisfied, will always find something to quarrel, to fret, or to whine about. A complaining heart is displeasing to Adonai, because it really demonstrates distrust and lack of faith. Israel's memory of all that they witnessed in Egypt was short-lived. They were kind of experiencing and suffering from spiritual amnesia. They were thankful for their deliverance, I'm sure of that, from the bondage of slavery, but it was just a few short days into the wilderness when they began to complain and grumble and quarrel with one another. And they said, where is the water, Moses? It's getting thirsty out here in the desert. And where is the meat? I have blisters on my feet. Are we there yet, Moses? They had quickly forgotten God's gracious and miraculous deliverance, and forgetting what Adonai has done in our lives is really a deadly sin that affects all of us. Many times we experience answers to prayer, and we see how God has delivered us out of difficult situations, and we're thankful, but they're quickly forgotten. Do we have volume here? We have some volume there, Vincent? Seems like Nothing's coming out. There you go. You know, often we experience, you know, answers to prayer. We experience victories in our lives. You know, Lord gives us wisdom to overcome difficult situations. But then when we're faced with another crisis, we quickly forget what God did for us. We begin to grumble and complain. See, the people of Israel were on the heels of witnessing miracles, signs, and wonders never before seen in history. And Adonai did it because he loved them, because he had a covenant relationship with Abraham. And their pockets were full of Egyptian gold and jewelry. They tasted victory over the greatest empire of the day, but within days of their mighty deliverance, they were grumbling and complaining with their less than five-star accommodation in the wilderness. But it says in verse 2, the people cried out to Moses, and when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. And so because of their grumbling and complaining, the Lord sent fire into the camp, the outskirts of the camp. And there were many who were consumed by the fire of the Lord because of their grumbling and their complaining. So they cried out to Moses. And so Moses was a great intercessor. He was a great shepherd of the people. He prayed for them, and the fire was extinguished. But the complaining continued. See, complaining can be contagious. Notice in verse 4, not all the translation says it, but it says, now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? So the mixed multitude were grumbling and murmuring because of all their lack of food. And their attitude spread, their negative attitude spread throughout the camp of Israel. And it caused division, it caused murmuring and complaining, and it caused discord and division. And we know that discord and division can undermine a community, the unity in the community, more than anything else. We need to always guard against discord and division, because the enemy will always look for opportunity to plant seeds of discord and division in the body. And the children of Israel are crying out, you know, who will give us meat? And so Moses was really in the throes of despair. He was getting frustrated, more and more frustrated with the people. The main cause of their murmuring was their appetite. They were growing discontent with manna, which the Lord was providing for them since coming out of Egypt. They were getting sick and tired of eating this manna. Is there something else we can eat? So they cried out, if only we had meat to eat. And then they began to, as Nicole said, began to reminisce. They began to look back. We remember the fish and the cucumbers and the melons and the onions and the garlic and the leeks that we have had for free in Egypt. And all we have is this manna. They are, of course, forgetting that they were slaves in Egypt and their food wasn't for free. But grumbling and complaining has always been a root problem with man. Someone once said, the Lord created the world in 6 days, and he rested on the seventh. And on the eighth day, he began to listen to complaints. It was Adam and Eve who first complained after they had sinned. Adam said, this woman that you gave me, she made me do it and I ate. This woman was the one it was the love of his life. You know, when he first saw her, he was enraptured and in love with her. And now this woman that you gave me, she gave me it to eat. And Eve said, it wasn't my fault. The serpent deceived me and I ate. The devil made me do it. In the blame game. They started the blame game. Now, let me share just a little bit of humor. You know, there's a dentist patient was grumbling and complaining about the fee. He says, 200 rupees for pulling out a tooth? She exclaimed, it's only a minute's work. Well, if you wish, the dentist said, I'll take it a lot more slowly. And then there's this other story of the grumbling motorist. He says, what am I supposed to do with this? The grumbled motorist said, as the police clerk handed him a receipt for his traffic ticket. He says, keep it, the clerk said. When you get four of them, you get to ride a bicycle. See, we are born with complaining and disagreeable spirit. This is part of our flesh. The attitude of complaining is known by different names. Griping and grumbling and whining, belly aching, whispering. In Yiddish, it's called kvetching. The Bible uses the term murmuring. But regardless of how we describe it, complaining always has the same symptoms. It is an expression of unhappiness, of dissatisfaction, and discontent. Complaining is the outward expression of discontent from within. The root of complaining is pride, because really pride is the root of all sin. And it manifests itself in the sin of unbelief, in impatience, in selfishness, and disobedience. We all know how uncomfortable it is to be around people who complain and whine. I'm guilty of it as much as anybody else. That's why sometimes John will say to me, quit being a Weinberg and start being a Goldberg. You know, it's not a pleasant experience, you know, but expressing a complaint is not always a bad thing. In Acts 6, you know, verse 1 to 5, the Grecian widows had a complaint. They're being neglected in the daily distribution of food. And so it's appropriate for them to express their concern, and their complaint was justified, and the problem was resolved. The result was that the Messianic community flourished because they addressed a problem in their community. We do need to express, and we do need to address concerns in our community as we did this morning. And we need to learn how to deal with issues when they rise up and don't just sweep them under the carpet. We need to deal with them biblically. We need to deal with them with the right heart attitude. And so how about Beth Shekinah? How often do we hear people in our congregation complain? A lot of that happens at the Oneg. You know, the services are too long. We're too Jewish, or we're not Jewish enough. Why do we have to have that Torah service? I didn't like the speaker that you brought in. The rabbi, he preaches too long. He preaches too fast. I've heard both. There's not enough food in the Oneg. There's not enough people to help. Discontent and complaining can cause discord in the body, and it can affect the unity in the community. It's called one of the six deadly sins that God hates, one who sows discord and division among the brethren. The Greek word translated complainer literally means one who is discontent with his lot in life. It's similar to the word grumbler. You know, complaining is not a fruit of the spirit. It's a fruit of the flesh. It's harmful and disrupts the love, the joy, and the peace that comes from the fruit of the spirit. You know, complaining also affects our witness, you know, to those around us, to the unbeliever, because why would anyone be attracted to a faith whose followers are dissatisfied with their life and continually grumble and complain? We are supposed to be the happiest people on the earth. Yeshua came that we might have a life and life abundantly. Yet how many of God's people are dissatisfied, unhappy, negative, and critical? Watch out for the joy stealers. The joy stealers are gossip and criticism and complaining, fault-finding, being negative, being judgmental in our attitudes. What did Paul say in Philippians 2? Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless, innocent children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. The Lord wants us to shine as lights in the world. He said, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Messiah, I have not run in vain or labored in vain. The Lord does not want us to run or labor in vain. He wants us to be steadfast and immovable, always doing the work of the Lord, knowing that our toil is not in vain. Amen. We need his mercy continually. Complaining is an expression of unbelief towards God's plan for your life. When we accepted Yeshua in our lives, he inherited all of our stuff. The good, the bad, and the ugly. He gets all of our baggage. And many of us were a mess when we first accepted Yeshua into our lives. But now we are his. Our life is now in his hands. His purpose is to form and to shape our character, to change and transform us from the inside out, so that we'll become vessels of honor and glory, a people that would walk in thankfulness and gratefulness. But you know, we are all still a work in progress. That's why we have to be patient with one another. You know, God's patient with us. We need to be patient with one another, because we're all a work in progress. You know, when we complain, it's really an accusation against the Lord. For the Lord hears, in Exodus 16, it says, for the Lord hears your complaints which you make against him. Moses said, what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. Complaining is unbelief of God's word, which says that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. You know, this last week, when, you know, Rana was sharing with our, you know, with our study group on Wednesday night, and she was just sharing some of her own experiences of how she has learned to crucify her flesh. And she related some experiences in her life of how she could have reacted in the flesh. She could have got angry and she could have got upset in the situation, but she chose to walk in that path of humility And because of that, God blessed her even more. You know, and so sometimes we need to learn how to crucify our flesh with his passions and desires and resist that temptation to strike out in anger or to be fleshly in our attitude towards others. Because God promised that all things do work together for good to those who love him and to those who are called according to his purpose. E.M. Bounds once said, gratitude and murmuring cannot abide in the same heart at the same time. You can't be thankful and complain at the same time. See, having a thankful heart will prevent the enemy from overcoming you with discouragement. And it will cause him to flee. Because the enemy loves and he thrives in an atmosphere of discontent and confusion and discord. Because then he can do his work of trying to undermine God's purposes in our lives. You know, complaining can really, it was the experience of Israel. It can invoke the curse of death, as it did in the lives of the Israelites who were destroyed in the wilderness. The Israelites kept complaining they were going to die in the wilderness. So the Lord finally allowed their complaints to come true. That first generation all died in the wilderness. Not one of that, other than Joshua and Caleb, were the only ones in the first generation who entered into the land of promise. It was because of their complaining, their grumbling, and their unbelief. Only their children, who they said will not enter in, were the very ones that did enter in. It tells us in Numbers 14, he said, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complains against me? I've heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you who complain against me shall fall in the wilderness. And all of you who are numbered according to the entire number from 20 years old and above. So it was not a happy experience, you know, for that first generation who entered in. And as we get into it next week, we're going to learn about that experience, about because of their unbelief that they were not able to enter in. And there's a lot of circumstances behind why they were not allowed to enter into the land of promise. But there's a lot of scripture in the New Covenant that addresses this. Paul learned the secret of being content and thankful in all circumstances. I would say Paul the apostle suffered and was persecuted more than any other apostle. And yet somehow he dug deep into the spirit of God, and he learned the secret of being content in all circumstances. He said, I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. That my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory, Messiah Yeshua. I know it's difficult for some of us who are without work and who are struggling financially and in health, and we can grumble, we can complain about our circumstance and what we're going through. But you know, is God faithful or is he not faithful? God wants to teach us how to trust him. He wants to build character in our life. He wants to teach us how to learn how to trust him as the children of Israel had to do in the wilderness. You know, in the barren and dry wilderness, they had to learn how to trust in him. And the Lord wants to teach us how to trust in him as well. You know, complaining doesn't change anything or make a situation better. It only amplifies the frustration, it spreads discontent and discord, and it can invoke an invitation of the enemy to bring confusion and chaos into our lives. You know, let me just, you know, share some further thoughts here from Numbers 11. Because this was getting a little bit hard for Moses to handle all this, you know, complaining and murmuring. And it says in verse 10 of Numbers 11, then Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, everyone at the door of their tent. And the anger of the Lord was greatly aroused. Moses also was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, why have you afflicted your servant? Why have I not found favor in your sight? You have laid this burden of all these people upon me. Did I conceive all these people? Did I beget them? That you should say to me, carry them into your bosom as a guardian carries a nursing child to the land which you swore to their fathers? Where am I to get meat to give all these people? For they weep all over me, saying, give us meat that we may eat. I'm not able to bear all these people alone because the burden of is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, please kill me here and now. If I found favor in your sight, do not let me see my wretchedness. You know, Moses became so frustrated and felt so helpless that he wanted to die. Sometimes it can hard to be a leader, you know, hearing people complaining. But Moses, when you're talking about 2 million people, you know, that's a lot. That's a big responsibility. We have a small flock of 150 or more people. You know, but Moses had a flock of 2 million people. And many of them, you know, complaining, whining, grumbling, you know, day after day after day. It got too much for Moses. And he just wanted to just throw in the towel. He said, Lord, just take me home. I don't want to put up with this. So what does the Lord do? It tells us in verse 16, so the Lord said to Moses, gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them to the tabernacle of meeting, that they may stand there with you. Then I will come down and talk with you there. I will take of the spirit that's on you and will put the same spirit upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you. You may not bear it yourself alone. So the Lord began to, he heard Moses, you know, his frustration, and he chose to, you know, place the Spirit of God upon 70 elders who come alongside of Moses and help to carry the burden, so it would not be so difficult for Moses. And I just want to just kind of close with a scripture from 1 Corinthians 12, because it kind of relates to this. 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 4, it's talking about spiritual gifts. It's talking about how there's unity and diversity within the body. And it talks about how God is able to put his spirit into the hearts of his people, and so that we can all bear this burden together. And it tells us in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 12, there are diversities of gifts with the same spirit. There are differences of ministries with the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. It's for everyone to benefit. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. And it goes on to say, for as a body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also Messiah. For by one Spirit we are all immersed into one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink of one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. The Lord wants to anoint us with his Spirit. And he wants to release his gifts into our lives. That each one of us have the indwelling presence of the Spirit in our life. The Lord wants to release his gifts in our life so we can begin to operate in the area of calling that God has chosen us to walk in, so we can help bear the burden of this vision of what God is bringing forth in these last days. We cannot do it without his Spirit. We cannot do it without his power. We cannot do it without praying. You know, God does not want it to be a one-man show, as was with Moses. That's why he distributed and he anointed, you know, 70 men to help carry the load. And I pray that it tells us here, you know, when it went on back in Numbers 11, there's another interesting scripture here. I want to just close with this one. You know, it says that as the Spirit of the Lord came upon them, that they began to prophesy. But it says that there was two men that who remained in the camp. They were not part of this anointing of the Spirit. The name of one was Eldad, and the name of the other was Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them. Now they were among those listed, but who had not come out the tabernacle, and yet they prophesied in the camp. And the young man ran and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. So Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, one of his choice men answered and said, Moses, my Lord, forbid them. And Moses said, are you zealous for my sake? Oh, that all the Lord's people would be prophets, and the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. That was Moses' heart, that all of God's people would have the Spirit of God upon them. And that's God's desire. We have the Spirit of God in us. We have the anointed presence of the Spirit within us. That we need to walk with greater anointing of God's presence in our life. And I just trust that we, you know, as we continue to grow as a congregation, that God would continue to release his giftings in our lives and begin to use us so that we can truly bear the burden of seeing a community grow and prosper and have good success. Amen. So, Father, thank you, God, for your word. We pray, Lord God, for your presence in our lives. We ask you to forgive us from the sin of complaining and grumbling. Lord, of sowing discord and division of any kind. Lord, help us to guard our mouths and our tongues from saying the words that will not edify, but words that will tear down. Lord, we want to build up one another. We want to encourage one another. But Lord God, we know that we do need to you know, have correction when correction is needed. And Lord, we pray, God, that we will be willing to receive correction when correction is needed. And Lord God, that you would anoint us with your Spirit, that you would begin to release your gifts into our congregation. And you begin to help us to walk with greater freedom of your Spirit, with greater anointing of your presence in our lives. Lord, we want your anointing. We want your Spirit, Lord God, to give us wisdom, to bring forth your purposes in our lives, so that, Lord, that we can go out and share in this great harvest at the end of this age. Lord, even this coming Friday, we have a great opportunity to reach out to our neighborhood and let them, you know, see the light in us. And Lord, that we will be able to bless them and be good ambassadors of your kingdom. And so, God, just fill us with your love and your grace and your mercy. Lord God, help us to walk away today encouraged and uplifted in our hearts. Lord, that we would seek your face and continue to walk in obedience. And Lord, continue to be thankful and grateful for all that you've done for us. We just praise you, we thank you in Yeshua's name for your goodness. Hallelujah, God.